Well, John, the college sports season starts.
Hey, it's autumn, babe. That means
right,
the NFL's open. That
football
means
time,
college
right?
football is open. Ibrahim Abdelmateen, Takeaway Sports Contributor, is here in the studio with me. Ibrahim, good morning.
Good morning.
So take us back to your football days. What's going through the mind of college players in the NCAA as they start the long road to what might be a national championship?
A championship season, yeah. Right? That's what everybody wants. So your days start with a morning meeting, perhaps, early in the morning. Then you go into class all day. Then you have afternoon meetings, you go to practice, and then you have dinner, maybe study hall if your grades aren't up to snuff. You do homework after that, and then you get some sleep. So really, your brain is on classes and coaches and teammates, grueling practice, sleep, and then getting proper hydration.
It's an exciting time, but there's something else on the minds this year. Todd?
There is. There's something else on the minds of college athletes, because for the first time this year, if you want to play in Division I sports in the NCAA, athletes have to be tested for sickle cell anemia. This rule change was put in place in April after Rice University freshman Dale Lloyd II died at the age of just 19 after an intense football workout in 2006. It was later revealed that he had sickle cell trait. Well, the mandate has many people fearing that it could lead to racial discrimination, and that's because sickle cell trait is mainly found in African Americans. Well, still with us, of course, Ibrahim is here to talk about this. We're also joined by Troy Duster, a professor of sociology at NYU and a former chair of the Human Genome Project's National Advisory Committee on Ethical, Legal, and Social Implications. So, Troy, let me start with you. You say that this kind of testing, which is designed to protect the lives of students who could die suddenly, possibly after a strenuous workout, you say that it actually evokes the terror of the Tuskegee syphilis experiments, and then it could actually have a negative impact on black athletes. Explain that.
Well, look, this is more about protecting colleges against lawsuits than about protecting athletes against heat exhaustion. It's my view that all students, athletes, should be monitored for heat exhaustion. This is not just an issue for those with sickle cell trait. And so what happens is if you mandate a particular program only to screen those with trait, remember, we're talking about those who are carriers of the gene, not those who have the disease, then you're assuming that there is some scientific background behind this. And in fact, there's no comparative scientific study which shows that having trait puts you at much, much higher risk. And what we have are anecdotes. You mentioned this case of the Rice student. There have been, over the last decade, several deaths of students who were athletes with heat exhaustion. What we don't know is whether or not many of those students who did not have sickle cell trait, whether they were dying from some other source. So what the NCAA should have done was to fund the 10-year study of heat exhaustion and then try to get at this scientifically as opposed to anecdotally.
Well, Ibrahim Abdelmateen, you just described for us the experience of the young college athlete in the fall trying to balance a work life and a workout life. Let's say a test for sickle cell trait was mixed in there. You were a black athlete. How does that strike you?
Well, first of all, Professor Duster's comments were very refreshing, and he also provided a solution that the NCAA could have taken, so I appreciate that. I think this reminds me of the sportscaster Jimmy the Greek, who was fired by CBS and for saying basically that a black athlete was bred to be better because of slavery. And why it reminds me of that is because of the connection between genetics and race and sports. And that sort of ugly stew is, I think, what comes up to me when it comes to if someone would test me for something. The reality is that there's a lot more mixed-race children, and there will continue to be a lot more mixed-race children. So yes, there might be an issue, and I would appreciate it if there was a study, because it's not just going to be something that's going to focus on black athletes. But that's the way that coaches are going to take it. Coaches are going to say, well, maybe this athlete shouldn't play as much, or maybe we're not going to give them as much time on the field because we might kill them, or they're going to give them special attention, and that might inhibit the coaches from being able to win a game. That might inhibit a player from being able to get to a professional level.
But are you saying, Ibrahim, that the NCAA doesn't really select for or pay attention to, and Professor Duster suggested this a moment ago, I think, that the NCAA doesn't really pay attention to other risk factors for dying of heat exhaustion in practices, and that this one stands out as purely arbitrary?
I'll just say very quickly that most colleges, and this is just anecdotal, but most colleges violate the rules of NCAA rules of practicing anyway. They drive athletes extremely hard, and that's why the NCAA puts in rules that say you can only practice a certain amount of hours per week. So I would say that the NCAA needs to rethink this and look again at how much practice players go through anyway.
Now, let's just remind people quickly, if you're not familiar with sickle cell or sickle cell trait, basically this disease turns the red blood cells into sickle-shaped. It sort of elongates them. They don't pass through the blood vessels very well, and this can cause blockages, especially vulnerable during times of strenuous activity. Now, some people, if you have a gene from mom and dad, you're going to get sickle cell anemia. If you have a gene from only one, you get sickle cell trait, and the thinking is you're at higher risk. Well, Troy, let me turn it back to you, knowing sort of the dynamics of this disease. Do we have any idea of the risk versus the benefit of testing? How many young athletes would have to be tested in order to save the life of one or prevent an injury in one? And do we know if it's worth it?
Well, that is the question. In terms of comparative risk, what we don't know is whether or not having sickle cell trait puts you at much higher risk. We do know, however, and this is my point earlier, that if you sign a waiver, if you and your parents sign a waiver saying you will not sue, then you can go ahead and play. So we're going back to the question of whether this is all about protecting athletes. Look at it this way. The National Football League has 65% of its players who are African American. 8% of those have sickle cell trait. So if there's a real issue here, it should come up in the NFL. But every Sunday, a lot of these black players are playing at Mile High Stadium in Denver with no problem at all, often in the summertime when they have these their training. So my point is that, yes, there may be some risk here, but until we have some comparative scientific data, the grounds for a policy change where the NCAA says we have to screen for sickle cell trait seems to me to be based mainly not on protecting athletes, but on something else called a lawsuit.
Before we go, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, does it take the edge off for you at all knowing that all athletes are tested, not just black athletes in the NCAA?
I mean, I think that reinforces the fact that race is not a genetic thing. There is no race gene. And if it's applied democratically, then that's the best approach. But I do agree with the professor that they need to rethink this. And also, athletes are going to get pushed less hard in sports that have less African-Americans. Is that the question? And what will this mean for the way that coaches look at players, considering the fickle nature of college athletics? Players, 1% of college athletes will go to the pros. And the average year of coaches is 3 to 5 years that they'll be in their positions. So this is about jobs and about lawsuits. It's not as much about the health of the athletes.
Well, certainly if the NFL is doing this without testing or allowing people to play, and 8%, as Professor Duster says, have the sickle cell trait, we need to get a response from the NCAA to figure out exactly what their rationale is for this policy, something we'll endeavor to do today. Thanks so much, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. And Todd?
Yes, and thank you to Troy Duster, professor of sociology at NYU, former chair of the Human Genome Project's National Advisory Committee on Ethical, Legal, and Social Implications. And John, you know, you talk about lawsuits. I wonder how long it will be before an African-American player is benched as a result of a test like this. That's something to watch.
Well, it's interesting. And again, we want to get a response from the NCAA. We want to know what we're talking about and working on. Lots to talk about there. You can start our conversation early. Subscribe to The Takeaways. Texts, send the word START to 69866. We'll tell you how to join the conversation. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Todd Zwillikin for Celeste. She's back tomorrow from Denver. It's The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science. Neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.